Vikings have it again. Cut off though by Tuck. Cuts into the zone. 2-on-1. Tuck right circle. He shoots and scores! Schmidt to the left for Carlson. Now Smith, he scores! Rips it over the glove of Jeff Glass. Vegas takes the lead 3-2. Right side in the middle and a shot. Fought off and rolls. They score! Carpenter! Knights coming towards center. Here comes Carlson ahead with Schmidt 2-on-1. Carlson on the right. He waits. He shoots. He scores! Hat-trick Carlson!
We are Vegas strong.
And welcome in. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman here with you. And finally, after tonight, we will know who the Golden Knights will be playing in the Western Conference Finals. That still sounds so good to say. Stanley Cup Finals would sound even better. Clayton, we were over at City National again today, and I got to tell you, I don't know if when they built that thing that they envisioned that they would ever have a problem with parking, but wow, if you don't get there early, you are driving around for a while, or you might just park and have to walk a little ways. The crowds have been excited, and they've been crazy and very supportive, but going around that parking lot, I think we see closer to fights in the parking lot than we have on the ice this season.
Yeah, it was jam-packed, and there was a line going around, people having to figure out how to negotiate both a line and a traffic circle, which made it nice and fun for everybody. But get there early. But a nice crowd today. A little Go Knights Go chant. A little spontaneous eruption into Happy Birthday sung by the crowd to one Alex Tuck.
Yeah, and they hit the ice early today, too. Mm-hmm. They actually got on the ice about 20 of them. The practice was supposed to start at 11, and they were full-on going at it before within the first couple minutes of it. I always find that exciting, too, because when the very first player hits the ice, and today I think it was right at about 10:40, the crowd starts chanting the Go Knights going that when they see the first sign of a player out there. If they see one of the trainers or something setting up the Gatorade water bottles and that, they start cheering for them because they know the players are about to come. It's crazy, the excitement around this team.
It was a good time. The cheerleaders were out, the night crew, the DJ. So good fun, and I expect it will be that way when they return from either Winnipeg or Nashville to get ready for Game 3.
Yeah, and of course, we are looking forward to it. Now, tonight's game, and we're going to have on Mike Rupp from the NHL Network and get his thoughts on a lot of it, but it seems like everybody I talk to is pretty adamant about who's going to win the game tonight. But they're adamant on both sides of it because it seems like about 50-50. A lot of people think that Winnipeg maybe blew their opportunity, but then other people are saying, well, you know what? Winnipeg's actually played really well in Nashville, and they think they're going to settle down and play a better game there. I don't necessarily have a read on this series. If Pekka plays as he's capable of, like he did in that last game where he got a shutout, I think Pekka is one of the, if not the best goalie in the NHL. And we saw that last year going all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. But if he plays the way that he did a couple games ago where he gave up 6 goals and 26 shots, obviously they'll be gone. Connor Hellebuck has also been very good, but maybe had his weakest game of the series in the last game. So to tell you that I would be putting money on the series or something like that, there's no way I would right now because I honestly don't have a feel for it. And we know that home ice and road ice, it's about 50-50. As a matter of fact, the road teams are now slightly ahead.
That's crazy. When you think about when we had talked what the narrative was during the San Jose-Vegas series, and we kept saying at each game, I have no idea what's going to happen. But you're right. People will tell you in this one, they have every idea of what's going to happen. It just is split that 50-50. When we were in the media pool today, just talking amongst ourselves, the people that were adamant, they were like, hey, this is Winnipeg's all the way, 100%, no doubt. And there are people that are like, I don't believe that at all. Nashville, 100%. You know who's most curious about tonight's outcome is our own Chris Chapman, because he's going to be sitting around waiting to figure out which plane he gets on. Does he go to Nashville? Does he go to Winnipeg? Does he need to get some money changed before he leaves? Does he need to brush up on his country music? So Poor Chris Chapman, man, just sitting around waiting to be told where to go.
At least Chris is one of the people here that could go to Winnipeg, because now that you have to have a passport to go to Canada, I guess it's been that way for a while. I was up in Toronto many years ago, but it was many years ago, and they didn't have to have a passport at that time. But I know you and Chris could go. Ryan and I couldn't go, so but I know Chris is excited about it, but also a little bit apprehensive.
I do know one thing. I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Parkway Tavern.
Absolutely.
I will be there on Saturday at 215 in Flamingo, and Monday down in Henderson on Mark Street. So my travel itinerary is booked. Parkway Tavern for me.
Yeah, and the only thing that might go up, it might not be because we're booking it at last minute, but gas prices seem to go up every time when a new tanker comes in. But
that's true. Buy your gas midweek, Frank. Yeah, don't buy it on Friday.
I buy it when my tank says I need it. So, but anyhow, certainly we will have a great time over there at Parkway Tavern, and we'll get some giveaways in that from Mark Moore and that again as well. So, looking forward to that. Also, looking forward to Mike Rupp a little bit later on, but. We do have some other things going on.
Yeah, just if you have a thought out there about who you would like to see in Game 1 versus the Golden Knights, give us a text on our text line. You can always interact with the show via our text line, brought to you by Southern Hills Baptist Church, where inspiring music, helpful teaching, and friendly people will always make you feel welcome. Just text us, 69187, preface it with the word Fox, and then Chris will be able to read your replies, maybe share some of them on air. So 69187, preface with Fox. Thanks to Southern Hills Baptist Church.
Well, and you know, speaking of Chris, as we all are every day, go over to City National, check out the morning skates, get there early to try to get a parking place. No, we do not get the towels and that the night crew and the night girls are throwing around in that. But you know what? Because we don't need them, but it's cool that they do that. And boy, those things have become like gold or something like that. People jumping all over for them. You see them. I mean, they're almost clamoring for them, almost fighting or whatever. I know one of my friends a little while back, he told me, he goes, because he got into the stadium and he saw the towels on all the seats and that, and he's like, well, why do they put them up before the game? I'm like, well, they kind of have to, because they have to. He goes, well, I mean, if I had a ticket there, I'd grab like five or six of them. I'm like, so you would steal the people's towels off the other seats? I have not seen that, and please don't anybody think about doing that.
But
why would you? No, first off, you probably wouldn't, because somebody would catch you with the hand of them. But yeah, it's amazing how everything, the free posters, the free towels, everything associated with this team, the value just skyrockets.
And why not? Good for everybody out there. You know, enjoy the towels. The towels have said they're becoming the new poster, but it's fun. It's fun.
It is fun.
Get some swag. Enjoy.
One per person.
Enjoy.
In case anybody cares, I have an Adrian Kempe towel from Game 4 in Los Angeles. So.
All right. Well, there you go. May.
You can use it to change your oil, or, you know, when people check your oil, you got to pull out the dipstick and wipe it off. So I think put it to good use.
Well, maybe you can, you know, whatever you get for that, maybe you can supersize your meal when you're with your per diem here when you go on the road here for these next couple of games. All right, so we did get a chance to catch up with some of the players earlier, and we've actually had this one sitting here for a couple of days, so let's get to it, because he's certainly one of our favorite players, our very own Chris Chapman, who will be going on the road with the Vegas Golden Knights team. He had a chance to catch up with Nate Schmidt the other day over at City National, talking about the upcoming series. Just not knowing who the opponent is.
For all this talk about a next man up mentality, have you ever been a part of a team that has been so deep and has had this capability for a guy like Ryan Reeves or Lucas Pisa to just step in and really play great games?
Yeah, it's just a seamless transition. And that's what's been, I think, so cool about our group all year, is that we've had that ability to, you know, someone goes down, a guy comes in, and there really isn't a transition period. It's just pop in and be ready to rock. And I think that's something that's goes to show you about our group. I mean, anything. I mean, guys play up and down in the lineup, you know, anywhere in the lineup, and that's just something you can't. Yeah, I mean, you can't teach that, or you can't put that together any better way than I think we have. And that's, you talk to the guys around the league, you know, they talk about depth, and I think it's our most important part of our team.
What is coach doing, or maybe guys in the locker room? Like you said, there is no transition. They're just making an effortless thing. I mean, what's going on in here that maybe doesn't happen in other places?
I just think it's the guys in the room. They just, you know, there's no changes. There's no getting to the guy. It's business as usual. I'm trying to make it as calm as it can be, and you know, because it's a big time atmosphere, and you don't want to get guys in. You know, it's pressure, and you don't want to get more into a guy's head that's coming in, and that's something we've done a really good job of. It's just kind of keeping the status quo for our guys, especially when they come into the game, and just make it feel like just another game for us to go out and play the same way.
Nate Schmidt there at City National. And, you know, it's amazing how this team says that. And it sounds so much like just the cliche things to do. But I really think the mentality in that locker room is that thing of it's just another game. They don't look at it as like, oh, there's a ton of pressure on us here and we've got to get this done. And, you know, we were talking to Pierre-Edouard Bellemare the other day and people were asking him about, oh, you get all excited about the playoffs. And he says, it's really not me. I mean, before the game, I get ready for the game and that. But it's you have to stay even keel on that. And the fan base and everything gets ramped up. But these players have to keep it on that thing so that you have that next level to go to on game day.
Yeah, and trying to manage your energy and worry about things that you need to worry about and worrying about who's going to win this game tonight doesn't do any of the players any good, because what's going to happen is going to happen. And when they wheels are up on the plane tomorrow, it's going to either go northeast or it's going to go straight east, and there's nothing you can do to change it. So I really kind of like that approach. The coaching staff and Gerard Gallant have done prep work on both teams. So no matter what happens tonight, they are well ahead in their preparation.
And by the way, we did throw out the text line earlier, 69187, preference it with Fox. And Chris, I guess we've got one of our first texters there talking about who they would like to see the Vegas Golden Knights play in this next round.
Yeah, don't have a name attached to it, but I guess in the future, if you would like your name mentioned, please list it. So, but this guy says, or girl, Phil, Nashville series would be more fun to watch because both teams are fast, and it also scares me since they can match the Knights' speed.
And that is something. I mean, it is. Winnipeg's definitely the heavier team. I mean, they have some big guys. They're skilled guys, but also big, and they do throw their weight around a lot. But, boy, I'll tell you what, Nashville, they're a really good team. And I do think Pekka is still a better goalie when he's on his game than Connor Hellebuck. And that's nothing against Hellebuck. I just don't know which one I think is a better matchup, though, because Nashville's looked not like the team that they were last year that went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals through a lot of these rounds. But, you know, what do they always say? You want to get better as the playoffs go along. And if they win tonight, maybe they're doing just that.
I feel like there's a larger set of variables when it comes to Winnipeg. That Winnipeg, at their best, is better than Nashville, but the potential for them to be at their worst is higher, where I feel like a more consistent team is Nashville, and the key is always Pekka Rinne and how he plays on the road. But he's got two road wins in this Winnipeg series, so he certainly has played well, which was the question mark going into him coming off of last year's Stanley Cup run, where he was terrible on the road and so good at home.
Yeah, and the flip side of that is, like you said, two road wins, but also two home losses.
Right, exactly.
So it's like the anti-Rini or something like that this year. But we'll see how it plays out, but we will know after tonight. You know, another one of those guys that is a fast player on this team, and people maybe not think of him as that fast, but had a great season and had a chance to catch up with him a little bit over at City National as well. That is Eric Holla, who's certainly coming off a great season and still contributing in a big way in the playoffs here. And I got a chance to sit down with him and ask him what it was like sitting there waiting around, but also how do you prepare and get ready for an opponent that you basically don't know who it is yet?
They're both great teams, both deep teams with good goaltending, so it doesn't, at this point there's four teams left. It's going to be a big challenge no matter what, and both teams, like I said, are really good teams, and they've shown it all year. So,
what are some of the differences between this series that you're going into now and when you were heading into the last series? Because you had that long layover between games, and now it's kind of going to be a short turnaround before you travel Friday and then play Saturday.
Well, it's still going to be 7 days, and 7 days compared to 9 days, it's really honestly the same thing. You're resting a lot. You have a lot of days. We game is on Saturday. We won't know until Thursday night who we're going to play. So, honestly, I think of it very similar to the other series. The only difference is that the team we're facing is not going to have that time off.
You're 4-1 at home and 4-1 on the road in the playoffs here. Does home ice really make that much difference to you guys? Because now you will be facing a team that will have home ice advantage.
Well, I think it more so it's just very important that you establish your home ice, and whoever is going to come and play in your home ice, it's going to be very difficult to win games there. And that's looking through all the successful teams, that's what they're able to do is win at home, and that's going to be key throughout the playoffs. It's we started twice at home now. We started on the road, and I think it's good. It's different, and I think it's good we start on the road this round and kind of see that, just a little different aspect.
Is there a different game plan whether you're playing Pekka Rinne or Connor Hellebuyck? Because they're both really good goalies, but they are a little bit different. Pekka Rinne, of course, has a ton of experience all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals last year, but Hellebuyck may be playing the best that he's played in his entire career.
Yeah, they are different goalies. Eventually, goalies can get hot, goalies can get cold. At the end of the day, you're just trying to miss him and put the puck in the net. So, like I said, I think both have great goaltending, and that's not going to be a decider. It doesn't matter which team we play.
Is there any different mindset whatsoever, knowing that you're going to be starting the first two games on the road? Is it in some ways maybe a little bit more unifying for the team to know that we're going to go on the road and we're going to take these guys on, and it's in their building, but we got to get a split here at least and then come back to T-Mobile?
Well, yeah, I think you answered the question. You just go in the first game, you're going to give it all you got on the road, and then you come home. Obviously, what you're trying to accomplish is just get home ice back from the first two games, and that's going to be the challenge. Both teams play great at home, so it should be fun no matter what.
Your play seems to pick up. It seems in every series, your play is getting better and better. The goal you scored, I think it was on Friday night, where you, it looked like it was an impossible angle. Can you just kind of walk me through what you saw and just the goal in general?
Yeah, I don't know. I just maybe think in my head, like on all shots, Jones comes really far out, and I was going to get a breakaway, so I didn't know. I didn't know if he came far out, even though the pass went over my stick, and then puck got a good bounce out of the corner, and just throwing it on net, you see those goals here and there, and you want to try them sometimes. It's not a great play always, but this time it looks good when it goes in.
Is that sometimes a theory when you're looking to score a goal, that if there's not a passing lane or something else open, it's never a bad idea to throw the puck at the net, especially in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what I've heard. But like I said, if that doesn't hit the net and goes the other way or something like that, there's two sides of looking at it, obviously. But at that time, I thought I could get it there, and I thought I could hit it in that front side, and I knew guys were going to the net too, so just doing exactly that.
And that, of course, was Eric Halla there over at City National. Chris and I had a chance to catch up with him the other day. And another one of those guys, maybe not one of those names that jumped out at everybody on the expansion draft night, but wow, what a great addition he's been to this team. And he's one of those players, too. He never seems too high. He never seems too low. But when you need a big play or a big shift out there, it seems like he's there offensively, defensively. Another one of these guys that's a complete hockey player.
Complete hockey player. And his ability to multitask is fantastic, because he did that entire interview while watching the Finland game in the World Championships and didn't miss a beat on either the game or the interview.
Well, I mean, considering that he wanted to watch the hockey game and the Czech girls just interviewed him before us, I mean, I wouldn't be paying attention to Chris and I either, I don't hold it against him whatsoever. But one guy who's also a huge part, Eric Halla, with all the goals he scored and what he's done this season has been incredible. But another guy that certainly the hammer for on the team, if there was an Avengers movie, Eric Karlsson. All of a sudden, I'm going free agency in the offseason.
I know, everyone says, right, Eric Karlsson on his way.
It's been talked about so much, it's been implanted in my brain. William Karlsson, of course, the Karlsson that we love here in Las Vegas, and they're not so fond of in Columbus right now because they didn't know how to use him, and boy, did they screw up. But Chris had a chance to sit down with him as well, and it's not easy to get a one-on-one with Mr. Karlsson these days, because when he walks in the room, every TV camera and every microphone's there. But Chris got a chance to sit down with him, and here's what he had to say.
Is there any kind of disadvantage to really not knowing who you're going to play, and then tomorrow morning you get on a plane and you're flying somewhere?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, still plenty of time to just gotta sink in and take in who we're playing. So I don't think it's a huge disadvantage, no.
Now, when you have this preparation time, are you guys focusing more on your game, or are there things you're maybe including that maybe Nashville might throw at you or Winnipeg might throw at you while you're in the practice?
No, I think it's more about us right now. And then when we see who we play, probably gonna get into that after that.
It's interesting too, because William Karlsson, he's such a gifted offensive player, but when you watch him out there, He's a big guy. And when he told us earlier that he kind of likes the physical type of play on that, and people were asking him about that when Ryan Reeves, when he first joined the team and that kind of stuff, when you see him, you kind of understand why he would, because he's not going to take it a gruff from anybody.
He isn't. And that whole front line is a lot more physical than people give them credit for. And I think a lot of times when you think about an elite top scoring line, you think about players that are a little bit dainty or somebody that needs protection out there or would shy away from giving the hit or taking the hit. That's certainly not the case with any of the three of them, Riley Smith, William Karlsson, or Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah, by the way, anybody who thinks that Ryan Reeves is just a big goon-type player like in the old days and stuff like that, go and watch him when he's doing his tip drills and that at City National during the practices and everything out there. That guy's got a lot of skill. He might not have as much as some of the others, and he'll be the first to admit that, but he is far from the old-time enforcer type of rules. Those guys don't exist anymore in the league, and if they do, they don't have very long careers.
They really didn't. And Will Carrier, head coach Gerard Gallant, saying today he didn't skate today or yesterday. Said he was going to meet with the trainer and figure out what his availability is. He does not expect him to be available for game one, which means either Ryan Reeves will continue to play, or Tomáš Nosek will make a return, or maybe they'll switch things up even more and Tomáš Tatar will make an appearance. But it looks like one of the three of those guys is going to draw in, and we will see if Mr. Reeves is one of them. But he was in front of the net doing the tip drill and looked pretty good today.
And you know what? Depending on who that person's going to be, that might be dependent on who wins tonight's game as well, because Gerard Gallant might say this guy is a better fit against Winnipeg, this guy's a better fit against Nashville. So stay tuned. We'll let you know tomorrow what's going on with that. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman. When we come back, we will be joined by Mike Rupp from the NHL Network. Does a fine job. Must-see TV on my television, I know, every single day, night, whenever I'm home. Pretty much that's what's on. We'll talk with Mike next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Stick around. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman, and it is our pleasure to be joined on the Southern Hills Baptist Church phone line by Mr. Mike Rupp from the NHL Network. Check him out on NHL Tonight. Experience life changes at SouthernHillsLV.com. Southern Hills Baptist Church, the sponsor of our text line, which you can text us once again, 69187, preface it with Fox. And, of course, also helps us hook up all these great phone guests we have as well. Mike, how you doing today? How are things going? And what is the narrative right now with the Vegas Golden Knights? Because we know it's the biggest story here in Vegas, but I have a feeling that this might be the biggest story in all of sports.
Yeah, it's, thanks for having me on, guys. Hope all is good there. You guys are getting locked and loaded for the great Western Conference Finals, seeing who you guys are going to be facing off against after tonight. But, yeah, it's the narrative. Man, I'll tell you what, I've been one that's on this side of it, being an analyst with NHL Network, that's never been shy to give my opinion, and I'm never shy with admitting I was dead wrong, and I've been dead wrong with this Vegas team all year. Not that I didn't like them. I do like them a lot. But I just think at this point they probably proved everybody in the hockey world and anybody even outside absolutely wrong. And they just keep seeming to do that. I actually remember when Gerard Gallant was coaching in Florida for the Panthers. There's the All-Star game in Nashville, and I had Gerard as a coach in Columbus, and he was the All-Star coach, well-deserved. At the All-Star game, I ran into him there, and I said, hey, Turk, got the team going well and whatever, and he says, hey, Rupper, I've heard what you said about us, with like a little tongue-in-cheek just messing around. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, prove me wrong. And they did that year. And then coming this year, I'm like, oh, man, now I got to sit and give my opinion on them again, or that team. And I've been proved wrong every time. So I've become a believer. I think everybody we talk to has become like a underground Vegas fan, because this is such an incredible story. I mean, honestly, the way this has all come about, this is like movie material, and it keeps going.
You know, you mentioned that, and you mentioned how you and everybody was wrong at the start. I find it interesting how over the course of the season, at the start of the year, you found people hard-pressed to say that this team would win 25 or 30 games. They were going to be challenging Arizona, and ironically, Colorado, a lot of people would throw in there, as the worst teams in the NHL. Well, Colorado also had a pretty nice season. But how did it change from this team is going to be terrible, they're an expansion club, to, oh, the rules were fixed and Vegas had unfair advantages and they were set up for success? Because nobody saw that at the beginning.
Yeah, well, you know what? I never thought that this team would be a lottery pick team for the draft this year. I think with the players they got, a lot of good players, really solid players, and a lot of them that are getting really their first crack at, you know, a different level of repetition, a certain level of, they're having a team put them in positions they wouldn't see on their former teams. And so I didn't think that they would be horrible. I didn't think they'd be, I thought they'd be in a playoff hunt and then probably die off down the stretch a little bit. Maybe miss the playoffs by a few points. I'd say around December, I started, and you know what, my counterpart at NHL Network, Kevin Weeks, has been a big promoter from day one, saying this team's going to make the playoffs. And I was like, come on, man, it's a little early for that, don't you think? And by about December, I started thinking this is a playoff team. I thought it would be a team that just sneaks in, and then things started going more and more, and then they had a little stretch there where, you know, they lost a few games at home, and I was like, okay, maybe that bubble's been popped a little bit, and the team just fights, and they fight every shift, and they fight every game, and I started thinking to myself, this isn't a team you're going to want to play come playoff time. And then I remember speaking, and maybe this has actually kind of worked in their favor to some degree. I remember talking to another player at a Western Conference team that was having the potential matchup of Vegas or the LA Kings, depending on which way things went. And the player I spoke to said, hey, I would much rather play Vegas, not the Kings. The Kings are playing like they did when they won the Cup a number of years back. And I was like, okay, well, that's interesting, because I didn't think the Kings were playing up to that level. But hearing it from the guys who are actually on the ice with them, you start to hear that. And then come playoff time starting, I thought this LA Kings team was going to work over Vegas. And when that series is over, I'm like, I can't even say anything anymore. I mean, these guys are so impressive, the way they handle everything. I was teammates with Marc-Andre Fleury for 2 years. The way he's playing, the way all the guys are playing in front of him. Now all of a sudden, I'm like, I have no idea. I don't even want to comment on how I think they're going to do. I just want to enjoy the ride and be a part of it.
We spoke with George McPhee yesterday, and he had talked about going into the expansion draft that he had identified 9 teams that he thought he could get a side deal with to get either picks or extra players, and said he was able to cut a deal with 8 of them. How important do you think him being able to make those extra deals were in putting this team together? And do you think that's a caution to the rest of the league come Seattle that maybe just take one player instead of 2 or 3.
So I spoke to another GM in the Eastern Conference, and was just speaking to him about Vegas and how unbelievable it was and how well that team is built and all those good things. And his comment was, it's going to be really tough sledding for whoever gets the gig in Seattle, because the bar has been set here, even with the same rules. Now you have teams that have 2 years potentially to tweak their roster, so they don't have to give up some of the assets. But then again, you look at a lot of the deals that Vegas ended up getting, it was a lot of, hey, if you take this contract on, we'll give you this maybe slightly better player. And that happened with, we know, William Karlsson. Nobody in the hockey world saw that coming. There's certainly, I thought he was a guy that can go into Vegas there and score maybe 20 goals, but to be over 40 is incredible. And you could say that as well as, I mean, the Riley Smith contract was supposed to be out of Florida. That was supposed to be a heavy contract and a favor to take that on. He's on the top, you know, he's been pretty fantastic playing a top-line role. Even the James Neal thing, you knew that they were going to get James Neal, but James Neal, in the hockey world, we all thought that's a great pickup for them because they're going to give him opportunity. He's going to score anywhere from 25 to 35 goals, and then you're going to flip them at the deadline and get a first or second round pick, and you could start building some more assets. Then you get to that point of the season where this team can do something, so you got to keep them. You know what I mean? And so it's really unique. Great job by him working those side deals, George McPhee, but also for the scouting staff and all the guys that are giving the intel to him on those players. Because again, did anybody call William Karlsson going from 6 to 40 goals? Probably not. Eric Halla going and getting, I think, what he finished with, 29 goals. I mean, it's incredible the knowledge that they've had of these players, and they hit on almost every single one of them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because you mentioned Carlson and his six goals last year. He had four shorthanded goals alone this year, so he almost had as many shorties as he had the entire season before. But, Mike, let's look at the opponent for Vegas in the next round. And there's a lot of talk right now. Is it going to be Winnipeg? Is it going to be Nashville? We're over at City National Arena every day, and we talk to a lot of the people in the media. And it's weird because I don't have a sense. I'm not sure who I think is going to win this game because it's been kind of a weird series with road teams having some success, but most people I talk to are pretty adamant. They think they know which side it's going to be, but it's still about 50-50 when I talk to them about which side it's going to be. What's your feelings about tonight's game?
Well, I can go either way, I think. You have the situation where you have two of the hottest goalies, or two of the guys that are up for the Vezina this year, and Connor Hellebuyck and Pekka Rinne. And it's really hard to evaluate what they've done in this series because both teams are still loaded offensively, and Winnipeg has so much talent up front. So how do we really see where their game is? I look at them on a game-to-game basis, and I'm like, they've been very good. But then again, Pekka Rinne's had a seven-goal game against. There's been a lot of goals against, but they made some big save, big timely saves at the same time. So I don't know how this game's going to shake out. I mean, it could be an absolute goaltending duel, but the way I look at this game seven is if it's five games accumulatively between the two teams, five goals or less, that's heavily favoring the Nashville Predators. If it's anything over five, I think it goes completely to Winnipeg. So if Nashville's married to the defensive concept and they don't get caught up in the finesse game that Winnipeg plays, although they can play it, I think that they have a great chance of winning. I think Nashville gets it done. But then it makes it really, no matter which team Vegas gets, the one thing that's going to be really important is, and you look to game five of the Jets-Preds series. Game five, you had the top line of Mark Scheifele and Winnipeg take over. They get that win. So now the ball's in the other in Nashville's court. Who's going to step up? Their top line of Ryan Johansson, Victor Arvidsson, and Phil Forsberg step up and score four goals in game six. So these two teams, they rely very heavily. They have a lot of depth, but they rely heavily on those top lines. When I look at Vegas, it's spread out. So if Vegas can keep getting the depth scoring, I think they've got a chance. And they get great goaltending. They play with good structure. They keep coming. I'm not writing off the Vegas Golden Knights at this point. I think that either team that gets by tonight is going to have their hands full.
Mike Rupp joining us from NHL Network, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harness, Chris Chapman. And Mike, we all knew that Nashville was going to be a good team this year. The question mark on Winnipeg was, were they going to be good this year or were they going to be good next year? Did they meet, did they exceed, did they fall short of your expectations of Winnipeg this season?
So I'd say the last 2 years, I've been looking at this Winnipeg Jets team and just in the people I speak to and my buddies at the network that I talk to, I'm like, hey, this is a team. I can't sleep on this team. They're so talented. They have so much talent up front. Mark Scheifele, I don't know if we always, even in the States here, get the appreciation of him. I mean, he's definitely a top 10 player in this league. I mean, I'm talking, I would put him right up there with pretty much everybody. I'd put maybe Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby in front of him. I mean, he might even be top five for me. And people don't really realize that. Blake Wheeler, Patrick Laine, Nikolaj Ehlers. I mean, they've got so much talent. And I knew it was a matter of time. I've been a little bit actually disappointed in them the last couple of years because they haven't been able to take that next step. Last year was a little bit of a step. And this year, I think that they're right where I actually thought they would be maybe last year. They're getting goaltending. Connor Hellebuyck had a tough couple seasons in his first few in the league, but now he's found his groove. He's a Vezina finalist. They're starting to defend better, starting to play more discipline, and now they can, they're still playing their style. They play a big physical style, and they like to score goals. So you can try to exploit that. You don't want to get in a up and down race with them because they'll probably win that one. Yeah, I think that where they are right now, I think probably. Where actually I thought they would be maybe a little bit earlier on, but it's they're right there knocking on the door.
All right, Mike, one of the things that people out here want to know is, which is the better matchup for Vegas? Because how do you see these series playing out? If Vegas were to play Nashville or if they were to play Winnipeg, is there a clear advantage over one team or the other, or are both series just kind of their own thing and we'll have to see what happens in them?
That's a great question. I would, if I had to, man, that's tough, because I'm picking Nashville to beat Winnipeg. But I actually would say a matchup for Vegas, a better matchup might be Nashville, and the fact that Nashville doesn't have, they have great depth scoring up front. I mean, enough to make probably, I don't know, 28 other teams in the league be envious of their forwards. But they're not as deep as Winnipeg's. And what I mean by that is you have that top line there in Nashville, and if that's the matchup that the Golden Knights get, you just got to keep a thumb on them. I don't know if you can always, you can't completely stop them. You can't make them dry up. But they sometimes go through little stretches where they're challenged to score goals. And I think that could be something that Vegas can take advantage of. And they have four lines that can roll. I think that's part of the trouble that they're having with Winnipeg is Winnipeg's forwards. There's not many teams that Nashville plays that has more depth at forward, but Winnipeg does. Vegas does to a degree, maybe not to the skill set of Winnipeg, but they've got basically four second lines. So, again, it comes down to contribution, secondary scoring, depth scoring. You get that. I think Vegas matchup that kind of isn't better in their wheelhouse would be Nashville.
Mike, quick look around the rest of the league. We saw some coaching vacancies. Jim Montgomery moving over from the University of Denver to Dallas. Rod Brind'Amour taking over in Carolina. Those two teams probably fell short of expectations this year. Do you like those hires? What can you expect out of these two guys in their new positions?
Yeah, Jim Montgomery is a big hire. I think that's one that the New York Rangers might be kicking themselves over with not being able to close out on him. But you got to... great spot with a ton of talent down there in Dallas. You know, Rod Brind'Amour is another one that, you know, this guy was a captain and won a Stanley Cup there. He's all about work. That team's going to be working. They just need to get over the hump there in Carolina. I think he's the right guy for the job there. But, yeah, there's still some, obviously, coaching vacancies out there. And sometimes you need a couple to trickle into place before the next decisions are made. And I think coming into this kind of off-season so far for coaching, Jim Montgomery was the big one there.
And we thought maybe he might end up with the Rangers. It looks like David Quinn out of Boston College has said no to that job. The Rangers in a bit of a mess. Where do you see them going to find some leadership?
Well, it's really important because the funny thing about it is that I thought, and we don't know which way that's going to go, something to monitor is Barry Trotz in Washington. Todd Reardon's that next guy in line there. He's been talked about for a number of years about maybe getting an opportunity somewhere else as a head coach. And he's been very patient there in Washington. And I thought that even if Washington got knocked out by Pittsburgh, I feel very strongly, and I think a lot of people do, that Barry Trotz would probably be out in Washington. Todd Reardon would be in, which would make Barry Trotz available. So here the hard thing that the Rangers have to decide is they're going to have a very young team. They're going to have to go through a little bit of growing pains. You get a coach that's going to grow up with the kids in that job, a la Jim Montgomery would be great in that situation. That's a decision they got to make. You heard Sheldon Keefe, another one, is coaching Toronto Marlies, American Hockey League, is another young coach that has a lot of upside. That's their decision. You get to bring a veteran guy in. Usually the veteran guys are going to, I don't know, lean on the veteran players a little bit. You bring a young guy in that gets to grow with the team and understand it's more of a process, that's a decision they're going to have to make, but they've lost a couple good candidates already.
Hey, Mike, on a lighter note, but maybe not so much if you're one of the guys that he's done this to, what does the NHL and what does Boston do with Brad Marchand and his licking stuff? I know he says that he's got to curb his stuff and he's got to cut that blank out or whatever, but I just don't – I can't even – if somebody came up and licked me, I can't imagine not punching them in the face.
yeah, exactly. I mean, you know what, to be honest, the first time I saw him do the kissing thing to Leo Komarov, I actually thought it was kind of funny. He's trying to draw the pen, and that's the role that he plays. But then when it starts happening again and again, and it seems like it's a joke to him, it starts getting old real quick, and the licking's a whole other matter. My thing with it is, listening to his exit interview, when he's cleaning out his losses after they got knocked out, is the way he, the verbiage he uses is, I just can't believe we're even talking about this, and then he says he needs to cut it out, and I felt like he's just throwing the company line out there, because earlier on in the day, he was all over Twitter spouting off again, and he starts the day after they get, the day after they get knocked out of the playoffs, he's on Twitter throwing out a kissy sign, an emoji. I'm like, okay, man, just let it go to bed. Let it rest. I mean, he's way too good of a player. This Bruins team's original six team. I mean, you've got Bobby Orr. You got Cam Neely that's a big part of that organization. I just don't think, I can't imagine it sitting well with all those greats that have played in Boston. I think he's got to look in the mirror this summer and realize, dating back to the World Cup, he was on the top line. He was requested on that top line by Sidney Crosby and Patrice Bergeron. You're a world-class player. I think you need to act like a world-class player, and he needs to cut it out. And I don't know. I didn't feel like he was being very genuine in that, but I guess we'll have to see.
No, I agree with you, too. And, hey, real quick in wrapping it up here, because we truly appreciate your time, I want to throw this into what's going on with home ice this year, because this is going to be the first year that Vegas won't have home ice advantage, but it hasn't been that much of an advantage this year. Maybe one of the best home ice advantages in the league is right here at T-Mobile.
Yeah, home ice to me, even as a player, it's tricky because, sure, you want home ice. You want to play in front of the home fan. There's a comfort level there. It's really great. But then you also think about when you have home ice, the series has to start on time for you. And it doesn't give you time to get warmed up. And a lot of these times you see teams, let's use an example here, Washington. Washington comes off a very heated rivalry in Pittsburgh. So now they're going to go against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't really know how much love lost is between those two teams. It needs to be for Washington. It needs to be for Tampa. So you get those first couple games there that Tampa is at home. They've got to capitalize on that. But you know what I mean? It can go either way in those kind of situations where the series is kind of feeling itself out. I wouldn't be surprised in, on tomorrow for game one if it's a little bit of a low first half of the game as far as teams being very methodical in the way they're going about things until they start really opening it up. And when you have home ice, there's a lot of pressure to deliver in game one and a lot of pressure to deliver in game two. Sometimes it's easier, I feel like, as a player going on the road and just having that mindset, we got to win one of these. And then the series is up and running and you're feeling comfortable going into games three and four at home. Game seven is the one thing, and I played in about eight game sevens where Game 7s are home ice all day long. The rest of the series, it doesn't seem to matter too much. We'll see how that Game 7 plays for Nashville tonight against Winnipeg.
All right, Mike. Well, we truly appreciate the time, and I look forward to seeing you on NHL tonight. And hopefully this ride continues along. And if you make it here to Vegas, we'd love to have you stop in the studio and do the show live.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot.
Mike. You can catch Mike on NHL Network. They're airing live coverage before and after every Stanley Cup playoff game, and you can watch Mike on NHL Tonight after tonight's Game 7 between the Predators and the Jets.
All right, and thanks very much to the NHL Network and setting that up. And as we wrap it up here today, getting ready, again tomorrow we will know who the opponent will be. But, you know, there's other playoffs going on as well. The AHL playoffs are going on, and there was a performance last night, one for the record books. We'll tell you about that and wrap it up here on a Thursday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Welcome back. Wrapping it up here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman. And last night in the AHL playoff games, Philadelphia Flyer goalie prospect Alan Lyon made 94 saves as the AHL's Lehigh Valley Phantoms defeated the Charlotte Checkers 2-1 in quadruple overtime, setting the record for the longest game in history. Faced 95 shots, stopped 94 of them. Not too shabby. The game ended after 1 hour, 46 minutes, and 48 seconds into the game, the longest AHL game in history.
That's a full night's work, Frank.
That's a pretty good save percentage, too.
Yeah.
So, Lyon, maybe making a statement there for himself, but how about that? The Phantoms. And we were actually going to play the call, but I think even the announcers retired because the call for a quadruple overtime winner, not as excited as you would have thought maybe it would have been.
More overtime news, this from the World Championships. Team USA stays perfect. They beat Latvia 3-2 in overtime. Cam Atkinson with the game winner. Assist to Johnny Gaudreau. Alex DeBrincat, 2 assists. Patrick Kane, 2 assists today. Team USA continuing to roll.
Yeah, Team USA undefeated at this point. Here, remember, they beat Canada in the final. Something tells me, in the first round, something tells me they might be meeting up again. All right, coming up next with Jonathan Marchessault as one of his guests, the Dr. T.C. Martin. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. See you.